Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gents. Another week, another episode of Absolute Truth Absolutely. A lot of different occurrences, a lot of different things happening in and around the world, and we'd just like to thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast, in which we try, at least we attempt, to disseminate truth, the absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty. That's the motto of LWYM and the motto here of Absolute Truth Absolutely. And as always, with us here is our faithful servant. He's my father and the pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Florida, Jesus Martinez.
Well, thank you, G. Once again, it's just great to have this opportunity to share God's word with God's people. And so I know you get a kick out of this, and so do I. And we hope that, and we pray that the Lord will glorify his name.
Absolutely. Yesterday I was thinking about a lot of the things that college students, university students, and high school students are going through now, because on a weekly basis I keep getting reports from our attendees to our Friday night youth meetings that they're getting bombarded left and right from their high school and their college teachers about different ideologies, different ways of thinking about the world, worldviews, that kind of thing. And every single time that they tell me about this, they always speak to me about how these professors, these teachers, attack the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. That's where they have to start off. And because if they can attack it, and I always tell them, if they can attack that, then basically they've tried to attack the foundation. And in their minds, they think that they've been able to deconstruct the foundation, and therefore they can usher in now every single ideology, mode of thought. You've been dealing with this longer than I have. What are some of the arguments, and that's some of, you know, what I'd like to deal with today on the podcast. What are some of the arguments that people will generally use, they'll generally bring forth in order to try to, you know, shake a Christian's foundation so that they would not believe on Jesus anymore, but rather now allow the New Age mantra, the, oh, there are many paths to God ideology, settle into their hearts and into their minds?
Well, when they attack the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, and that is that he is the only way to the Father, they are attacking the very foundation, or one of the pillars, one would say, of Christianity. The other one would be death and resurrection. Once you attack these things, and if you are successful at it, and by successful I mean if you can get Christians to repeat their mantra, then it's as good as lost. Now, I understand that not all are going to bite into this, but we still have to fight these erroneous ideas and concepts, because it'll keep many away from salvation, away from Christ, because they feel like any and all ways lead to God. And so we need to understand that they're not attacking just a particular piece of frame within the structure of Christianity. They're going for the foundation when they go for the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, or when they attack the resurrection. They're hitting very important pillars. I would say that it's not perhaps the latest, but it is, you know, making the rounds in different ways of presenting it, and that is that it would be cruel of the Christian God, if there is such a thing as the Christian God, to redeem mankind by doing what he did to Christ Jesus, his son. Because in men's mentality, in men's views of things, they want to redeem themselves, and this is comfortable for them. And yes, that's the word I want to use, comfortable for them, because, you know, through a good work here and maybe some time spent on that charity over there, I redeem myself from all the other garbage that I collect and all the evil that I tend to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think this particular one, Gio, that points to a supposed cruelty on the Christian God's heart that, you know, tormented and just beat up Jesus the way that he did, is going around, is making the rounds. And what people forget is that God didn't do this to his son. Sinners did this to his son. And the Bible says, Jesus was speaking about this, that when that particular, you know, point finally came to the forefront, that is his crucifixion, it was the hour of darkness. It was the hour of Satan. And people need to understand that, because they throw these little things in there like, God did this to his son. No. We did it. Yeah. Satan did it, and he allowed it so that we could be redeemed.
Well, that's a very famous argument nowadays from people like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, the new atheists, they call themselves. And this message is now resonating within college campuses and high school campuses. And now I'm even hearing this from middle school kids, that they're being taught these erroneous thought process, the ideologies, and so on and so forth. And just to expound on what you were talking about, if a Christian were to go to their Bible, and I think this is the lack, this is what is occurring in many Christians' lives, that it allows these arguments to penetrate. And just like James says, that they are taken to and fro, and Jesus says they're taken to and fro from every wind of doctrine. Paul says the same thing. When they don't go to the scriptures to study these things, you know, to either verify or debunk the claims that these people are making, then they're just simply taking what they're saying as factual instead of going back and examining these things. And I think that's the biggest problem that we have now in Christendom, especially in the Western side of things, in the Western Christendom. We've become so comfortable, and we've become so adept now to the idea that, yeah, if this person says it because they have a PhD attached to their name, it must be true, and we should just take it at face value.
Right.
Instead of doing what the Bible tells us to do, which is to go to the scriptures on a daily basis to see whether these things are so, and to examine them and to retain what is good or not. And I find that especially a lot of young Christians, they're not doing this. They're not going to their Bibles on a daily basis, because if not, for example, using the argument that you just brought forward, they would see that, no, God didn't crucify Jesus Christ. It was man. Peter, on Pentecost, said, you crucified him.
Yes.
You were the one that put him on that cross, but yet he still offers redemption for you. And if young people were to arm themselves with these biblical arguments, their faith would not be shaken. But all the contrary is the truth. They don't go to the Bible. They don't study their word on a daily basis, and therefore they're taken to and fro by every wind of doctrine.
Well, they'll bring in human wisdom, and they'll get into the comparisons, and they'll say, which do you think it's better? This God who is so cruel that he just maliciously beat up on his own son at Calvary to redeem mankind, or what we teach you, a gentler, kinder spirituality where we do good on behalf of those that can't do for themselves. And then kids are duped into buying this, because in order for me to uproot something that you believe, I have to make you believe that what I'm teaching you is better and that what you are holding on to is old.
Yeah, it's superior.
Yes. And so, you know, this is when the concept that you're speaking about, I have a PhD, I'm a learned man, etc., this is when it kicks in, and then they start attacking the Bible as an old book, as something that people who are not really right, who are not intelligent, hold on to. If you'll notice, even in Hollywood, a lot of the nuts that they present in their films, the people that go around blowing stuff up and killing innocent people, somehow there's a connection between them and some form of Christianity. Yeah. And so we are the loonies. We are the people who are holding on to a thought process, to an idea, and to concepts that are just no longer viable. They've been proven wrong. This is what they want to make young people believe. And unfortunately, like you were saying, people are buying it.
Yeah. Well, Richard Dawkins is one that will continually tell people, well, evolution has been a scientifically provable fact. Well, okay, show it to us in a laboratory and we'll see if we believe it. It's not going to happen because it's not true. But they have to make these claims, these, I would call them ridiculously extraordinary claims. Why do I say extraordinary? Because they are extraordinary. You're not going to find them. You're not going to find that they're real. You're not going to find that they are verifiable. And they have to make these claims in order to attempt to debunk these things in people's minds and in people's hearts. One thing that's become very famous nowadays is not taking the Bible literally, which is just another manifestation of what you were just talking about. We can't take that book literally. It's impossible that we were to take that book literally, because look what it talks about. It speaks about miracles. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, for crying out loud, he said that he was a Christian according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, but what does he do? He puts a Bible together from verses that he cuts out, and he cuts out all of the miracles and all of the supernatural things that Jesus did, and then he puts together a new Jefferson Bible only with the moralistic teachings of Jesus Christ, because he says it's impossible that a man were to do these things. But yet we find that this is what makes Jesus unique. This is what makes Jesus exclusive. This is the God-man. This is the Son of Man. I mean, you go to Matthew chapter 26, and when Jesus is in trial before the council, before they send him to Pontius Pilate, what is it that the high priest says? He says, verse 62, and the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" It's not like if he didn't know, they plotted this, but anyways. But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "It is as you have said. Nevertheless, I will say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses?" Because this is a man claiming that he is God. Now,
yes.
How do we verify this? He resurrects 3 days after his death, and Paul tells us that he left more than 500 living witnesses of his resurrection. So this is verifiable that he is the Son of God. Dad, this is what makes Jesus unique. You won't find this in any other religion. You won't find this in any other ideology.
Well, with the first miracle, John says that for the first time they saw his glory. So we are definitely talking about God, when we're talking about Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God just walking the earth and doing the marvelous things that he did to showcase one and one thing only. Well, not in one, not just one thing, but to at least focus in on this. This is not just another man walking the earth. This is the Son of God. And then at Calvary, we see the flip side, because you rightfully so said God-man, and he's dying as a man who committed no sin. And yet, he took on the sins of the world, all of them. I find that the duplicity that is laid out in today's news and history classes and philosophy classes are just almost too much to bear with and handle. When you look at some of the things that are said about Cyrus the Great, you'll find that amongst them is the following. He was the first king, the first emperor to believe in human rights. And they'll just speak highly of him because he allowed people to go back to their own gods, to their own deities. Why don't they focus in on the fact that 200 years before he came on the scene, the true God spoke about this guy by name? Because you're talking about the miracles that prove to the fact that Jesus is not just another man, not just another prophet. He is the Son of God, the Redeemer. Let's take it a step further. Is this just another book? Or is this God's living word to mankind? Well, when they look at Cyrus, they will look through the annals of history and say, wow, first guy, first emperor, first king to really embrace human rights. He allowed everybody to go back to their deities and their God. Why don't you take a closer look and point to the fact that the true word of God, true scripture, spoke about this guy. 200 years, a little over 200 years before he showed up on the scene. They will hide that because what they have done is, or hopefully they intend to do, is create a religion that is comfortable for every individual, because no matter where you are at, it's okay. That's your spirituality, and that's the way that you seek out God, because at the end, Gio, all paths lead to God.
Yeah. Well, that's the mantra that's coming around. You even see it on the bumper stickers of Coexist. I mean, I can't stand it when I see that thing. I cringe when I see that Coexist bumper sticker, and it's got all of the different symbols from different religions. We can't coexist. We can't, because why? If Jesus says that he is the only way, the truth, and the life, the only way that anyone can get to the Father, then any other thing, any other human opinion that's based on, no, that's not true, then we have to automatically say of that opinion, that's all it is. It's a human opinion. It's not validated.
But the thing about it is that we have coexisted with the rest. It's the rest that don't want us tagging along or to exist. Let me use that word.
Exactly.
Because when you follow the sequence of what happened in history, the Persians through Cyrus the Great, and then the Greeks through Alexander, and then the Romans, it was, all gods count. Yeah. All gods are good, and, these ideas of many, many, many deities. And then one emperor says, just one God and everybody is going to be a Christian. And obviously none of the above worked. So what do we have now? We have a return to multi-gods. And this time, maybe radical Muslims, but the rest are saying through social pressure and political pressure and financial pressure, you will embrace the idea of many gods and you will cut this nonsense out of just one Redeemer leading to God. And that's where we're at now.
Well, let me clarify what I said, and it's a very good point that you bring up. What I mean by we can't coexist is that I, as a Christian, and if you are a true Christian, you're not going to be willing to compromise the truth. And what is the truth? That Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life.
Absolutely.
Now, like you were saying, what they want us to do is to, they want us to buckle to pressure. And I think that's primarily one of the first reasons that people will buy into the lie of, well, if you say that Jesus is the only way, you're a bigot. And they're wanting to be accepted. They're wanting to be part of the group. And to them, that's superior in their own minds, in their own hearts, than to sticking to the truth.
But don't you hear a lot of Christians already saying, I don't impose my faith on people?
Yeah. But there's no imposition. If you really think about it, it's a stupid statement.
But they have buckled.
Exactly.
Just following your statement.
Exactly.
They have buckled because they no longer believe in the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. They no longer really believe that it's the only way to God, because if they truly believe that, they would say, I don't care what they're saying.
Exactly.
I believe that this is the only way to God. And so therefore, even though they don't like it, I'm going to share my faith because I love them enough to share my faith because I want them to escape perdition. I want them to escape what is ultimately going to happen to all of those that reject Christ. So, Gio, the evidence is there. They really don't believe, many Christians don't believe that Christ is the only way, because that very thought, I will not impose my faith on others, come on, speaks volumes.
But you also have to, and you make a good point, opinions do not validate the truth.
Absolutely.
Veracity is what validates the truth. And the truth came to us a little more than 2,000 years ago and walked here on earth. And he died for us and he resurrected. That is the truth. I mean, you look at just the entire scope of this. There are many diverse reasons why people will adopt this. And we've spoken about a few. We've spoken about those that want to feel part and those that don't want to feel pressured. We've spoken some of the things. We can even deal with, for example, people like Glenn Beck, people like commentators, high school and university teachers who want to try to deconstruct the truth. But yet, I think there's one outstanding reason, and we'll speak about this to close the podcast, why people do not come to Jesus. And they would rather not acknowledge and recognize Jesus as being the only way, the truth, and the life. And that is accountability. At the end of the day, if you recognize that Jesus is the truth, he is the life, he is the only way to God the Father, that automatically makes you responsible before a living God. What does 2 Corinthians 5:15 tell us? That we should no longer live for ourselves, but live for him that died and resurrected for us. And that is an outstanding and a great truth. And when people see that, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit is convicting me of my sin and I need Jesus. It's not that he's an option. It's not that he's just another option or one of the many options. No, he is the option. Now that makes me responsible before God in either accepting him or rejecting him. And now, what do you have? Well, I have a choice to make. Either I align myself with Jesus or I keep living the way that I want to and I suffer the consequences. Well, you know what? Many people say I'll choose B because I'd rather live the way that I want to live because I think in my own mind that I have my best intention in my mind than to follow Jesus. So let me get this straight. At the end of the day, you would rather live 70 or 80 years of this life of temporal pleasures and then spend eternity without Christ and in perdition than to go through some persecutions in this world. Yes, they might take your life for it, but yet you're assured that you're going to live in the presence of Almighty God for the rest of eternity. See, the reasoning, the logic behind it doesn't fit my mind. At least in my mind, I'd rather stick with Jesus.
It's interesting the way that we play with words, and by we, I mean this society. Because going back to a statement I made maybe 2-3 minutes ago about I will not impose my faith on anyone. Nobody's really imposing anything. What we really do is share the gospel.
Yeah.
But look at the words that are used so that you will back off from evangelism. No, please don't impose your faith on me. I'm not imposing anything. I'm sharing the gospel. And what you want to do is shut me down altogether.
Censorship.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
And embrace this idea that all ways, you know, all paths lead to God. I'm not making, you know, plans to obligate you to believe. I just want the freedom to share Christ. And what you are fighting for is to take that freedom away from me. And so who's bigoted now?
Yep.
And so who is really difficult now? It's just a matter of separating the issues carefully. And you can see that persecution has begun in the West, in the U.S. of A. It's just very subtle, and it's in the form of philosophy and thoughts and ideas and concepts, and maybe even, not maybe even, also being fought in the judicial system.
Yeah, well.
And the universities.
And yeah, well, of course. And I think this is a good point that you make, and we'll end with this because I think it's an extraordinary point. I think students have to understand that this is what is the driving force behind the ideologies, the mantra that says there are many paths to God, even though that in and of itself is such a superficially, it's a ridiculous statement. You have to understand that what is the inner workings of this argument is censorship, trying to shut down the gospel presentation. And every time a person approaches you and you preach the gospel and they say, no, you're imposing. You're not imposing anything. They don't have to believe it. They don't have to believe it. As a matter of fact, they don't have to sit there and listen to you speak about it. They can just simply stand up and leave. But it's another manifestation of what you were talking about, censorship. So I think that the practical advice that we want to leave our listeners with is don't give in to the pressure. Don't buckle. Jesus himself said, if they hated me first, they're going to hate you also. But yet this gospel message is going to be preached throughout the entire world. If you truly love your fellow man, like Jesus tells us, and you love God the way that we should as Christians, you're going to preach the gospel and you're not going to stay silent. Any final words?
I think only a God of confusion, a diluted God, a nutcase, would leave a schemer always lead to him. Because, first of all, he would have to be a God that doesn't understand the nature of the being that he created and this being fell. Because once we have all these different ways, this plethora of ways to God, all we're going to do is continually war over that. So for me, the God who would do that is a God of confusion, a troublemaker. I love the God of Scriptures, the Bible, because he's got this perfect way about him that it's obvious that it's perfect because I, a fallen being, cannot accomplish this, cannot reach this. Therefore, he sent his son for me.
Yeah.
So that he could, you know, gap this great divide between he and I. None of my good works could have ever done that. And so I think when you think about it carefully and thoroughly, you will find that only a made-up God, a human God, a God made up by the human mind, could be this God that says, I have many ways for you to come unto me. Choose the one you will.
That lends itself to confusion, which the Bible tells us God is not a God of confusion. So, amen to that. Well, thank you again for being with us. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to direct to our way, please do so by visiting our website, lwym.org/ATA, and email us at info@lwym.org, info@lwym.org. Remember to download previous podcasts and to share these with your friends and family members so that they too may know the truth of the matter. Until the next edition, the next episode of Absolute Truth Absolutely, this has been Giovanni Del Cristo and for Pastor Jesus Martinez saying, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.